alive, but praise the Lord in the house. God
Amen.
Is so good to us. A good thing to praise the Lord.
Yeah.
That's right.
This morning, I just want to just remind everybody at the end of service, we're going to have communion together, so make sure that you have your lotion, your water, or your bread for communion.
Yeah.
And then I want to start off with just a couple of Psalms. It says, in Psalms 105:1, it says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Psalms 107:1 says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy and endureth forever. And that's also Psalms 118:1 and 136:1. And then in Psalms 150, it says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him from the psaltery in the harp. Praise him with the tremble and the dance. Praise him with the strange instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Praise everything.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We praise you, Lord.
Thank
you, Lord, for this day. We praise you, Father.
Yes, yes. Praise your holy name.
Good morning, everyone. Pastor Hardy and I are just sitting here smiling and chuckling, listening to everybody greet one another in the Lord, and we miss you all as well, and we just thank Bishop and Pastor Kate for their prayers for everyone and their leadership, and so I'm just honored to lead us in worship this morning and praise, so come on and join in together. We're together in the spirit, by the spirit, even though we may not be physically present, we're together in the spirit. Amen. So let's get started. You know it, sing it with me. The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice. It trembles at his voice. Sing it with me. How great is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God. And all will see how great. How great is our God. And age to age he stands, and time is in his hand, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. Now God had three in one, Father, Spirit, and Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb, singing, how great, come on, sing with me, how great. All will see, every eye will see how great is our God. Oh, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great all will see. How great is our is the name above all names. Name above all names. You are worthy of all praise. And my heart, my mind, my soul, I'll sing how great. Oh, he's the name above every name. Name above all names. Jesus, your body. And my heart will sing. I'll worship, I'll adore you. Oh, he's the name above all names. King of kings and Lord of lords. Only you are worthy. Everything within me will praise the living God. You're a great God, excellent, wonderful, holy is your name. Oh, King of kings and Lord of lords, yeah. Holy, righteous, altogether lovely, my strong tower, my protection, my provider, Yeshua, 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 great God, you're my strength, you're my peace, wonderful counselor, great mighty king. Oh, you're the day star from on high. You're a great God. You keep us. You are the only thing keeping me. Great God, great I am. He's a great God. He's a great God. He's a wonderful God. He's the one and true and living God. Just bless him where you are. Open your mouth and declare who the Lord is. Give him the honor that's due his name. Hallelujah. Tell him how much you love him this morning. Tell him how much you're grateful for him. Hallelujah. And we're just going to sing one more song. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Worthy God, worthy God, worthy, worthy, worthy. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
I really love you.
Come on, you know it.
I really love you, sweet Jesus, because you first loved me, yeah. I really love you, yes I do. I really love you, yeah, 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 yeah. I really love you, my Jesus, because you first loved me. I really love you, yes I do.
Come on, sing it.
I really love you. Yeah, 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 yeah. I really love you, Jesus, because you first loved me. I really love you. Yes, I do. How can you love me knowing all the things I've done? And then you show me when you gave your only son. I really love you with my whole heart. I really love you. Yes, I do. How can you love me knowing all the things I've done? And then you show me when you gave your only son. I really love you. If you love him, come on, lift those hands. Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet and bless him. Oh, yeah, I really love you. Yeah. I really love you, Jesus. Because you first loved me, yes, you did. I really love you. Yes, I do. Come on, say, you are the air I breathe. You are the air I breathe. You're the song I sing. You are the song I sing. No one can compare. No one can compare to all the joy you bring. You bring. Oh, yes, I love you with all my heart. Oh, yes, I love you with all my soul, because you first loved me. You died on the cross just for me. Yes. Hallelujah. He really loves you this morning. Oh, yes, I love you with all my heart. Oh, yes, I love you with all my soul, because you first loved me. Oh, I really love you because you first loved me. You died on the cross, yeah. I really love you because you first loved me. I really love you, yes I do. Hallelujah. Bless his name. Reverend Brown?
We do love you, Lord. We love you so much because you are such a great God. I had seen it unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The Lord is our shepherd, and we shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, God, we do bless you because you are the good shepherd who has promised us that you will never leave us or forsake us. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. I'm Vivian Brown, and I serve as one of the ministers at Manna Christian Fellowship Church. So welcome to Manna Christian Fellowship Church Online, where Jesus Christ is still Lord. So on behalf of our pastors, Marvin and Kate Mason, our assistant pastor, Michael Hardy, his wife, Tamara Hardy, the elders, the ministers, the deacons, the entire MCF family, we do welcome you this morning. We're our family church, a Bible training center, and a world outreach ministry, equipping men, women, and children of God who will stand the test of time. Amen. Mrs. Hardy.
Amen. Thank you, Reverend Brown.
You're welcome.
Just for a few minutes, we're going to worship him. I want you to lift your hands where you are. Stand on your feet. Come on. Create an altar there. Come on.
Bless
come on.
You. Hallelujah.
Come on, worship him.
Bless you, Father.
Come on, give him glory.
Bless
Let
you,
the
Lord.
Atmosphere of heaven fill your home.
Bless you, Jesus.
I lift my hands in total adoration unto you. You reign on the throne, for you are God and God alone. Because of you, my cloudy days are gone. I can sing to you this song. I just want to say that I love you more than anything. Come on. Bless the sun this morning. Lift those hands.
I lift my hands in total adoration to you. You reign on the throne, for you are God and God alone. Because of you, my cloudy days I go. I can see for you this song. I just want to say that I love you more than anything. Love me in your arms. You are my shelter from the storm. When all my friends were gone, you are right there all alone. I've never known a love like this before. I just want to say that I love you more than anything.
Come on, tell them you love them. Come on, open your mouth right where you are. I love you, Jesus. Come on, tell him. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. Come on, bless the sun this morning. Tell him how much you love him. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. I just want to tell you, yeah, Lord, I love you more than anything. Come on, you say I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you. Lord, I love you more than anything. I love you, Jesus. I pour out my heart to the loving God. Just want to tell you I love you.
You this morning. Bishop Mason.
Good morning, everyone, and I pray the blessing of the Lord is you have experienced it this day, this morning, as we come before the Lord in spirit and in truth. We thank the Lord for his grace, his mercy, his loving kindness toward us. I want to thank God for just being good to us. And thank God for just being who he is. He is everything that he says he is. He would do everything that he said he would do. He doesn't have to prove anything. He doesn't have to be on anyone's schedule. He's sovereign. Thank you, God. You are the sovereign God. You can raise one up and you can take another down. It's all about what you decided, your thoughts. Not our thoughts. Your ways are not our ways. Thank you, God. We don't have to live by the dictates of the flesh.
Hallelujah.
Even in our responses to trouble, Lord God, we have a word from you. We have a word from you. It's called the Bible, the Holy Bible. It's the word of God. What you moved on. The scripture says, a holy man of God, your spirit would come upon them. You would move on holy men of God who would pen this book that has lasted for ages and will continue to, because the word of God is forever. It is forever settled. And we thank you, Lord God. This is a forever settled word. What you have declared and what you have decreed is done. Because you are present tense, God. You're not past tense. You're not future tense. You're just I am. Whatever you have declared, whatever you said, it is done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, God, that there is no coronavirus in heaven.
Hallelujah.
So we declare and we decree that it is eradicated on the earth. Lord God, thank you for that revelation. Thank you for that understanding. Thank you that we can live by the truth. We can live off the truth. That we can live in the truth of your word. We give you glory. I pray that you will bless everyone through the hearing of their ears, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word from God. This Bible that I hold in my hands right now, Lord God, when I open this book, you are opening your mouth, and you are speaking to us. You're speaking to our minds. You're speaking to our bodies. You're speaking to our hearts. You're speaking to our spirit, Lord God. Thank you that you have taken a moment in where we are in time that you would talk to us and share with us your grace and your mercy. I bless you all that's on this line. I pray you all are prospering and you are in good health in Jesus' name. And I pray the prosperity is not just centered around what's in a bank account. It's centered around your relationship with God, that you are prospering in your relationship with God. You've grown closer to God during this time, because all things work together for our good. Yes, even this, that I know that may be hard for some people to comprehend. Wait a minute, what do you mean? Look at all the bad news, the bad news, the bad news. Well, it is bad news if you're in the world. If you're living by the dictates of your flesh, if you're living by the dictates of this world, if you're listening to the bad news 24 hours a day, but I'm not living off of the news that's in this world. I'm living off the news that's in eternity. It's called the good news. It's called the gospel. And so, God, anoint me to speak your word, Lord God. Prepare the people's hearts. Prepare the people's hearing that they would receive with meekness, not a word, but the word of God. We give you glory. We give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. All the saints of God said, amen and amen. Good. You can turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to do my best to share out of chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and chapter 4. Timothy is one of these awesome books in the Bible because it's dealing with the writer being the Apostle Paul, writing to one of his spiritual sons named Timothy and giving him instruction in terms of his ministry, how he's supposed to live, how he's supposed to conduct himself. That's what God does with us. We are sons and daughters of God. And God is instructing us through his word how we're supposed to conduct ourselves, how we're supposed to live, and how we're supposed to respond in a time of trouble. Because this world doesn't understand, it is in trouble. But it's not in trouble because of the virus. It's in trouble because of a three-letter word called S, spelled S-I-N, sin. And sin was ushered into the world, into the earth, because of the transgressions of one person. Now, think about this. You know, people talk about this virus starting over in China and it's migrated over to the United States and other countries. Well, sin started with one man. Think about how, I don't know what the latest numbers are in terms of how many people are in the world. I know it's in the billions. And here, that sin nature has been in every single person who has been born on this earth. The nature, the sin nature, separation from God, spiritual death, all that's talking about the same thing. We have a nature that we're born with. That's what the Bible says, all is sin and have fallen short of the glory of God. That's not a license to sin, but it's, God is telling man what his condition is. And that's bad news. Because being born in that condition, mankind, every man, woman, and child, is unable to save themselves spiritually, from spiritual death. Spiritual death meaning the creation separated from the creator. But that's good news, the gospel, that because Jesus died for, while we were yet in our sin, while we were yet in our sin condition, died for us, is resurrected from the dead, never, that means not just raised from the dead, but resurrected from the dead, never to die again. Seated at the right hand of the Father, and as I said yesterday, born and doing early morning prayer, and is our soon and sudden returning King. And yes, he's coming back as a king. I mean, he's going to rule. He's not coming back asking man what to do. He's not going to come back asking mankind for permission to speak words from his Father. And while this world doesn't understand, it's trying to separate itself continually far away from God. Want to take prayer out of this, want to take the Ten Commandments down. We don't mind people talking about God, but we have a problem with this Jesus name. Something about the name. Something about the name. You have looking at the news, you had one church that had a food, you know, they're giving away food in the parking lot and giving people the food in their cars and you know, of course, they were commended for that in their community. But then they tried to have a church service in the same parking lot that they were just giving away food in, and they were told no, they couldn't do it. Now, what was the issue? The issue was man wanted natural food to self-preservate himself, but he needs spiritual food so he can get beyond just self-preservation and understand he's created by God for a reason. I'm going to start at chapter 3 for 2 Timothy, verse 1. I don't know how much of this I'll get through today, but God is good. Paul says to Timothy, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Now, this is not a gloom and doom. This is not a bad news message. It's to create faith in all of us. But I want whoever hears this, whether you're born again or in the world, to understand what's happening from God's perspective as opposed to man's. I mentioned this yesterday, too. I heard a doctor on one of these reports say, you know, he said the answer to all this virus, the coronavirus, he said the answer to all of it is science. Science will determine its outcome. Science will determine how long it lasts. And I'm listening saying, no, science is not going to determine all this. You haven't even figured out where it came from yet. I mean, you got an idea, but you haven't figured out where it came from yet. No, what you need is God. God is the answer to all this. Okay, let me keep reading. For men, here's man's problem. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brooders, or brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now, it is amazing to me. Now, I just saw this on the news this morning that now some of these states are trying to reopen and opening up retail stores and movie theaters and all that. I said a couple of weeks ago, what's driving a lot of folks is they're not angry because they can't work. Some are, but a lot of folks are angry because they can't have their pleasure. And so in this particular retail store, I believe it, somewhere in the Midwest, that when, because even though they can now come back in the store and shop, but because the store required them to still have masks on, customers in the stores threatened the employees. I mean, physically, because they were so upset that they still felt they were inconvenienced. They wanted to do what, see, it's not just doing what you want to do. People, this world not only wants to do what it wants to do, it wants to do it the way it wants to do it. And so the essence, the foundation of Jesus, as John the Baptist said, the axe laid to the root of the tree is man's pride that says, I'm my own God. I can do what I want to do, when I want to do it, as long as I want to do it, with whom I want to do it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he does not want to acknowledge God. So his reaction even to man-made laws or man-made restrictions is still violent. Okay, now let me keep reading. Verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and God says, and from such people turn away. Denying his power, what's that? Denying God's authority. There's something about, even in this pandemic, people resist authority. And God's way of escape is repent. But you also have to yield to God. That's one of the old-fashioned words that you don't hear too much now. Yield, repent, yield to God's authority. And if you can't yield to man's authority, you're not going to yield to God's. But for this earth to come out of this economically, physically, spiritually, it's about our relationship with God. Let me keep reading. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Boy, if that doesn't say it in a mouthful, I don't know what does. I think you need to highlight verse 7, meditate on it, read it over and over again. Always learning. This world is filled with information. You would think with all this information, with all this learning, people going to colleges and, you know, and I mean, these major Ivy League schools and yet with all this science and all that, I would say to that, the doctor that talked about science, what's going to solve all this, you're ever learning, but you never come to the knowledge of the truth. The issue is not information overload. The issue is coming to the knowledge of the truth, and the truth is only contained in God's word. Verse 8, now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, those were the two musicians that Pharaoh called when Moses threw his rod down, they became a serpent. And they imitated, but their snakes didn't have the power that Moses did, because Moses' snake ate their snakes up. Now Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. That's exactly how people resist the truth. They imitate a relationship with God. They go to church. They, quote, read the good book. They talk to the man upstairs. Y'all hear all this talk, these cliches that people use. See, they have a form of godliness. They imitate God's authority, but they don't yield to God's authority. So I'm going to read verse 7 to 8 again. I want verses 7 to 8 to sink in. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now it's Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses. So do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. But you, okay, now we're going to be getting to the nitty as well as the gritty. See, Paul is making a distinction between them. And then he says in verse 10, but you. Now, either that's but you to Timothy, or that's God saying to all of us, but us. but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. Woo, there's a whole lot here. But you have carefully followed my doctrine. What are you following? The truth of God's doctrine? Manner of life. Who are you following? Whose manner of life are you following? Purpose. Faith. And faith is not what religion you are. Faith is not what, you know, we use this word faith, you know, it's a generic term for many folk. You know, somebody asks, what faith are you? They say, well, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Lutheran, or I'm charismatic, or I'm non-denominational. But that's not talking about that. Faith is trust, your belief in what God has declared. Let me move on. Long suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. Listen to this. Y'all ready for this? This is God's answer. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. There's your solution. Out of this pandemic, out of coronavirus, the Lord is delivering us. Yes. And all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And that's what we have to warn this world about. We got to warn some Christians about deception. You know, I talked to you a while ago about the difference between deception, being deceived and deception. And being deceived comes from the devil. Because a person who deceives, they don't know that they are falling, what they're falling into. They actually think they are believing the truth, when in fact it is there to guide them into an untruth. But God sends strong delusion. And see, when the devil sends, when he wants to deceive, he doesn't want to give you a way out. If you believe in a lie, if you believe in an untruth, the devil says, that's it, I got you. I put the bait in the water, the fish has bitten, I have it now, and through a lot of times religious deception or religious being deceived religiously, they can't find that way out. But when God sends delusion because of the rejection of the truth, is different. When God sense deception, it's because people have rejected the truth. Deception from God is not people who don't know the truth, have never received the truth, and never heard the truth, but they have rejected the truth. And because they reject the truth in their heart, at a certain point, God sends strong delusion. Let me keep going. Then it's verse 14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned. Now, this is God's way out. This is God's way of escape. God is not about, because we heard it one time. He's not about, because I got that on a CD. My favorite preacher preaches that. I've heard that before. It's not what you start in. It's what you continue in. I'm sure everybody on this line probably knows someone that seemed like at one point they either were a Christian or trying to live a Christian life, and they've gotten off into some occult, or they got into some strange doctrines and strange teaching. They're just living a lifestyle. I've heard of people who profess to be born again, profess to be saved, and now, I've confirmed I'm a Muslim now. And you're like, well, what happened? See, they didn't continue. But you must continue in the things which you have learned. Now, you got to ask yourself the question, what have I learned? Not what have I heard about, but what have I learned? Meaning, what have I put into practice? and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that's very important. You need to, let me read verse 14 again, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. You need to continue in the things you've learned, and you need to acknowledge and publicly state from whom you learned it. When we quote the Bible, I've used this example before. It is very important to acknowledge the author. Now, I may agitate some things here this morning. I've seen athletes, and especially professional athletes, and entertainers on talk shows and on the news, and they'll talk about God. Some of them will even quote a scripture, but they won't name the author. In other words, they'll say, yeah, I mean, let me give you an example. I've seen this on sports shows. Like, I've heard people say, I'm going to speak this into existence. Now, I know where that's coming from. You know, name it, claim it, confess it and possess it kind of teaching. And so what they're saying is they're trying to, what they think is a principle of God without acknowledging God. In other words, life and death is in the power of the tongue. Well, they may say, I'm speaking it into existence, but they don't say God said. And especially, they don't say, well, Jesus is the word made flesh. They don't say Jesus said. They won't even mention Jesus' name. And in a public place or in a public forum, how can you say what God has said and you don't acknowledge that he's the author and that it's him that said it? It'll be just like in the earth, if you wrote a book, and you quoted what somebody else said in their book, you have to glue a footnote, I think, and acknowledge in the footnote who you're quoting, because it's called plagiarism. If you say it like it's you said it, but God doesn't do that. God did not copyright the Bible. He wants us to acknowledge him. Well, God doesn't file a lawsuit. God doesn't get upset and get angry. But the reality is, when I talk about God, I need to acknowledge God. When I say God said, I need to say also, if the words are in red, Jesus said. And yes, some people get tired of that. They're going to look at you like, you're just a kind of religious nut or whatever. But we can't be ashamed of the name. Okay, let me keep going. It says, verse 14 again, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. This is very important. You need to take note of who you listen to and who you follow. Verse 15, and there from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. Parents, grandparents, listen, this is why the devil attacks the home. He's not trying to get fathers out the home. He's trying to get the word out the home. From that, he says, verse 15 again, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scripture, the word of God. From the time our children come into earth, the scriptures need to be taught to them, I believe, in Jewish culture. When a child, especially a boy, becomes, 12 years old, has his bar mitzvah and is recognized as a man. But, I mean, they've learned the first five books of Moses. I mean, think about this. I remember Vacation Bible School back in the day. And we had to, at its conclusion, every child had to memorize a scripture or scriptures and say it, out when they had to, the conclusion of the Vacation Bible School. Nowadays, you don't hear too much about scripture memorization. You don't hear that, especially from adults or parents or grandparents asking their children to memorize scripture. There's some old movies I like to watch, the Christmas movies. I like. One is called Homecoming. It's the Waltons. I didn't like the show, but I did like the Christmas movie. And but one of the scenes in that movie is they're sitting down at the dinner table and they're having a discussion about something else. And the oldest daughter, says she needed to exit because she hadn't remembered, she hadn't learned her Bible verse for that day. In other words, it was so important that every day the children, I think it was like six or seven children, the children were instructed to learn a Bible verse, memorize it every day. Now, we're so far away from that. That, I know, doesn't that seem strange? I mean, I know y'all are muted, so I can't hear your response, but I got some amens and so bids and yamens out there. But that's so strange now. I mean, many of our children now are young or grandchildren will look at us like we're crazy. What do you mean? I need to memorize a Bible verse every day, 365 days a year. But think about how strong our children would be if they learned a script, you know, they memorize a scripture every day. And then think about how long it would stay with them for the rest of their life. Some of you, I guarantee you can remember scripture that you learned in the Sunday school or that you learned in vacation Bible school as a child. And so Paul was saying to Timothy, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. And this was part of Timothy's credentials, you could say, to be used of God, because he had not only knew about the Scriptures, Paul says, you have known the Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. This was a young man, but Paul says, which are able to make you wise. Many times when we think about wisdom or somebody being wise, we think about somebody that's older, well, they're old now, so yeah, they're wiser now. Well, there's some truth in that. But Timothy was a young man, but Paul was still addressing his wisdom as a young man because of the scripture he learned as a child. All scripture, verse 16, is given by inspiration of God. You need to learn that. You need to believe that. You need to know that. Not some of the scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, teaching, for reproof, for correction, that means adjustment, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. Let me ask you a question. Are you complete in him? And how do you define being complete? Remember, when we look at words, we can't define them how we define them. We can't define them how the world defines it. We can't define it how the flesh defines it. How does God define it? Well, God defines it in verse 16. I'm going to read verse 16 again. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped, equipping men, women, and children of God who withstand the test of time. Verse 17 again, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God wants us to be complete. He wants us to be thoroughly equipped. The scripture talks about those who are what the Bible calls a babe or a Christian baby or a baby in Christ, a babe in Christ. And that's dealing with a new convert. But it also talks about those who are unskillful in the word. Timothy was skillful in the word. He was complete. We got to ask ourselves this question. Are we skillful in the word? You know, think about this, a skill. What is your skill? Some of you know how to fix hair. Some, you know, you're an accountant. Some, you know, you work in the medical field. You are professional in what you do. You have a skill. You have a gift. Well, with that skill, you are not considered a novice with that skill. You're not a new convert if you've been a mechanic for 20 years or 25, 30 years. You're not a novice. You're not a new beginner. You're skillful. And just the fact that you say you're a convert, you're a mechanic or a doctor or a Marine or a Texas Ranger, Army Ranger, or a Green Beret. Just the fact that you say those things, it lets people know you are not just equipped, you are fairly equipped. Ask yourself, you know, we're going to take communion in a little bit. But you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when God said that we're supposed to examine ourselves, do we really do it? Because maybe the question I need to ask myself or inspect myself, God, am I thoroughly equipped for every good work by your definition, not by mine? Now, let's go to chapter 4. I'm going to be done in about 5, 10, 15 minutes, I guess. He says, I charge you. This is why I think church, being a member of a church is so important. We kind of, in America, we're such a different beast. We kind of lost something now in these generations. Derek Prince used to put it this way. He used to say, you need to be careful how you join the church, and you need to be careful how you leave it. Local assembly is very important. It's extremely important. And because that's the place where we get fed. That's the place where we can receive instruction and reproof, and we can grow. But also, it's a place that we can be charged. Now, that's something that you don't hear a lot. You know, we do it in weddings sometimes. You know, we say we charge those that are present during this wedding, you know, to pray and all that. You know, and as a pastor, as a shepherd, I prefer the word shepherd more than I do preacher. If people go to school, a person can become a professional preacher. They can be, you know, you can become a professional speaker. But the pastor, folk, to shepherd, God has to anoint you. I don't think you can learn how to treat people just from a textbook. God has to anoint you to love his people, to serve his people. My wife and I feel like I know I can speak for both of us. It is a pleasure to serve you all. We're not in this for what we can get. We're not in this for our benefit alone. But it means something to be of service to the people of God. And I believe a local church is a place for us to be charged. Let me keep reading. Paul says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Here it is. Preach the word. That means ain't just talking, live it and so forth. Preach the word. Be ready in season, even during this season. Life is about times and seasons. That's see, you know, we read out Ecclesiastes, times and seasons. Be ready in a season and out of season. In other words, the two words that be ready. I don't know when Jesus is coming back, but I do know I'm going to be ready for his return. I don't know the day or the hour. I'm not going to claim to know the day or the hour, and the Bible tells me that I shouldn't know the day or the hour. But it does say I need to be ready. And it is more important to be ready than it is to live long. I'm going to say that again. It is more important for me, for you, for us to be ready than it is to live long. Because some people live a long, or what they call a long life. Natural fact, our life is just a vapor. But they think because they live to be 90s and 100 and they think that's the objective. But you can live a long life. But if you're not born again, you may be the nicest person on earth. You may be just the salt of the earth, according to man's expectation. But if you're not born again, you are not ready. And God wants you to be ready. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exalt with all long suffering and teaching. When we eat this word, when we read this word, when we meditate on this word, when we do this word, when we memorize this word, look, God is, he's convincing us. He's rebuking us. He's adjusting us. He's correcting us. He exhorts us, exhortation. He does it with long suffering. God put up with us for a long time, meaning he put up with our flesh and teaching us. For the time will come. I'm going to say this. These are my words, not God's. I'm not speaking by command, just my opinion. For the time is already here. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I believe we're in that time now. But according to their own desires, people living off their own emotions, living off their own fleshly desires, living off their pride and so forth. But according to their own pride or their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. Now, let me say this. I don't have itching ears. People have itching ears. They want to go where somebody's going to say what they want to hear as opposed to what they need to hear. They want to go where someone is going to exalt them or give them exhortation or better yet, make them feel good about themselves. But that may not be what they need. For instance, like I said, if you're not born again, you need to hear about salvation. Your flesh may not want to hear about it, but that's what you need. Verse 4. And they would turn their ears away from the truth. And that's the world we're living in right now. I think I'm going to say something. I probably might just edit this out. I don't know. Up in New York, with this coronavirus, you know, most of the news that was on about all the deaths in New York. I haven't heard a person say this yet. Last year, the New York, I think their legislator, I think Elder Brooks, I think you probably could know a little bit more about this than me. I don't know if you're going to be unmuted or not, but anyway, don't worry about it. Either way. They passed a law that weakened the abortion laws and requirements of a child. In other words, the time up to it limited the time for which a child could be aborted. And then the legislation in New York changed it and passed a law that made it now right up to birth, and meaning literally, a woman can go into a hospital, literally giving birth, and the child could still be aborted. And it's my understanding, and I hope I'm saying this correctly, someone, I think, you know, that was maybe making an argument against that law being changed was booed by the New York State legislators. And when the bill passed that allowed for abortion to take place right at birth, the legislators applauded. Now, let's bring this up to now. I'm sure they don't equate that introduction of the spirit of death in New York to this, because it seemed like, at least on the news, in terms of the numbers, they were hit the hardest. The spirit of death, by its leadership, I'm talking about the state legislators, not church leaders, but the state legislators, opened that door spiritually for this natural virus to come in and begin to kill people physically, because they made it law that a child could, a baby could be killed right at birth. Now, I'm not even going into the means, the how, and all that. I'm just talking about just the fact that they did that. One of the things I've been saying, and I hope y'all can grasp what I'm about to say. A lot of this, I still believe in this sowing and reaping. I believe a lot that has transpired in this earth is reaping. There's blood crying from the ground. 60 million or more abortions in this country? There's blood crying from the ground. And see, the repentance is my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, okay? That's a biblical, not only scripture, that's a principle. The leadership, presidents, Congress, you know, senators and representatives, and both on the federal and state levels, when they introduce these things, they're the leaders. The repentance needs to come from them, because they open the doors. Now, they may be saying, well, we're representing the people. Well, I don't doubt that. But just like in New York, yeah, pray for New York. Pray that, we don't want to see anybody die. But John the Baptist says the axe is laid to the root. God lays this axe to the root. Well, how come God is allowing? Wait a minute. How come you allowed? You opened this door for the spirit of death to come in. Now, if you go back, we just celebrated Resurrection Sunday just a couple of Sundays ago, where the Jews at Passover put the blood over the door, put the blood over the lintel, and it kept the death angel out. See, an acknowledgement of God kept the death angel out. See, somebody hung up. I hope they didn't hang up with what I said, but it is what it is. And that kept the spirit of the death angel, the spirit of death, out of people's homes. But see, when the blood, the word, the name is rejected, and then you applaud that bill passing, I mean, to me, you said, death angel, come on in. And I believe that's what happened. I'm declaring and decreeing, and like I said, I may edit this out, may not even put it on the internet, but I'm declaring and decreeing that a lot of what happened in New York is a path got open, a door got open, that Jesus being the door, but it wasn't the door that Jesus is. It was a door where the name of Jesus was rejected, God's rejected, the blood of Christ is rejected. And so the spirit of death comes in now. Like I said, some folks may get upset with me for saying that. I'm not going to be saying that every Sunday, but I'm going to speak the truth as I see it. And God, if I'm incorrect, help me, because I'm not trying to be incorrect, but I'm not afraid to be incorrect. I'm closing. I'm closing. I got to go. All right. The last verses, and I'm done. Verse 3 again, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, again, referring to either Timothy specifically, to us in general, but you be watchful in all things. Christians, open your eyes up. Get the wax, get the spiritual wax out of our ears. Open our spiritual eyes, but you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. There are many people in this line now. You have a spirit of evangelism on you. I pray the Lord use you in a great and mighty way during this hour that souls will be saved. Closing now. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought. This is not a funeral scripture. I mean, I understand you go to many funerals now, and you hear this read, and there's nothing wrong with it. But don't regulate certain scripture that is supposed to be applied to the one thing. For I am ready, for I am already being put out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. Are you fighting the good fight? I have finished the race. When your time comes, will you have finished your race? And I have kept the faith relationship. Finally, that is laid up for me. It is laid up for every one of you. The crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who loved his appearing. You're going to love him when he comes? You're going to love his appearing? Or are people going to be like Adam? Run and hide. Get some fig leaves. But we as Christians, love is a prayer. Father, it's in Jesus' name I pray for everyone on this line. If there's one person on this line that's not born again, that's not saved, that's not washed in the blood, I want to say Jesus loves you. This I know because the Bible tells me so. He loves you with all his life because he gave his life for you and me, for you and I. I'm going to say a prayer. I'm going to ask you to say this prayer with me. It's a very simple prayer, but it's not an easy prayer, meaning this prayer contains commitment, discipline, an application of life to it. But it's simple. And I learned the greatest truths usually are simple truths, not the most complicated stuff. Will you say this with me? Father, in Jesus' name, save and wash me. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Help me to be what you want me to be. I pray, I repent. Anything I've said or done that you're not pleased with, I give it over to you now. And help me by your word and by your spirit to be and to live for you. Let the rest of my days be lived acknowledging God in my life, acknowledging Jesus in my life. Teach me your word. Speak to my heart, Lord. Speak to me through your word. Speak to me through other believers. Help me to take what I've heard today, because what I've heard today is to set me free and to make me free. I give you glory. I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I would ask you, if you prayed that prayer for the first time and you meant it with everything in you, tell somebody, a friend, a relative, if you work on the job, if you're going back to work on your job, a neighbor, and just tell somebody that today you were born again by the blood, by the word, and by the spirit of God. In Jesus' name, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Hardy, come on.
Good morning, church family. Thank you so much, Bishop. We needed that word. Ooh, let me tell you, to the church family, I'm telling you, every one of you that's born again, you are a blessed, blessed, blessed people of God. And I tell you, truthfully, I cannot say that enough. You are a blessed people of God. Well, I'm online because it's blessing time, amen. And look, just want to let you know that we have come to know that prosperity is knowing Jesus. Can't help but think about Joseph, you know, where the scripture says that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hands. Bishop talked about pleasure, the way the world sees pleasure. But, you know, our pleasure is to please Jesus. Wealth. Let me tell you about wealth. To become rich is to be bought by the blood of him who became poor, that by his poverty we might become wealthy beyond measure. To be rich is to know Jesus. My gosh, my gosh. Look, I miss hearing you guys applaud. You know, it is let our precious Lord know that how glad we are to share our tithes and our offerings to him. And we thank him for the privilege to sow into his precious kingdom. I just thank the Lord so much. Glory to God. Glory to God. I just want to say to you this morning that if you're on the line for the first time or if you're paying by check, if you're sending your checks, please send them to Manor Christian Fellowship Church, P.O. Box 38247, Henrico, Virginia, 23231. And if you're giving online, go to www.mcfmanor.com, locate the word give, and follow the instructions to online giving. Amen. I want to pray. Lord Jesus, as we join on this line to worship you together, we cannot help but recognize, Lord, your goodness. In fact, each day we taste and see that the Lord is good. In view of your mercy, Lord, and your provisions, especially, Lord, when we think about the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross on our behalf, we give you our tithes, our offerings, and our prosperity gifts. We ask that you bless it for your sake and for ours. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Bishop Mason.
Okay. We are going to receive the Lord's table now. I will ask you to prepare yourselves as I read the scripture out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at verse 23. I want to say while we welcome everyone to partake of the Lord's table with us, understand this is something that is reserved for Christians. The Lord's table was not given to everybody to do. It was not supposed to be religious, some type of religious act. It is for those who have a relationship with God. So I would ask that you're not born again. God loves you. It has nothing to do with whether God loves you or not. He does. But you should refrain from it if you're not born again. If you are a parent and your child has not confessed the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior, then you should refrain from it. You should, you explain what it is and what it's about, but this is reserved for people who are born again. Scripture says in verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he returns. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Father, in Jesus' name, we take a moment for self-inspection. I take a moment for self-inspection. I'm asking myself a question. God, am I fully following you? Am I fully following the truth? Am I pursuing you, God, with all my strength, all my might? Is this relationship with you my life until my last day, should you tarry on this earth? I will be acknowledging you both in my words and in my deeds. Has this coronavirus caused me not just to ask questions, but to question you? Because, God, you know my heart. I'm human. Even Jesus said, Father, Father, why Have you forsaken me? That was a question, but he was not questioning you as though he did not trust you. Am I full of faith even to the end of my days? So I examine myself before I partake of this bread, acknowledging, Jesus, your body was broken for me so that healing could be, wholeness, deliverance could be available. You, your blood was shed so that my sins, the availability of my sins could be forgiven. It can be available, but I thank God I have laid hold on it. Because if I'm sick with sin, there is an illness greater than coronavirus. If I'm ill with sin and you have an antidote, it can be available, but I have to take it. I have to do that out of an act of my own will. And I know the antidote that saves all of us is repent and believe your word. Thank you, God. I give you glory. I thank you for your mercy and thank you for these people that have joined me in honoring you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'm taking the bread. Jesus took the bread. The Bible says he broke it and he blessed it. Said to his disciples, who he says, "You, I no longer call you disciples. I call you my friend. Eat all of it. Do this in remembrance of me." You may eat. In like manner, Jesus took the cup, said, "This represents the shedding of my blood for the remission, forgiveness, atonement of sin. Drink all of it. Do this in remembrance of me." Thank you, Jesus. And all the saints of God said, amen and amen. Okay, we're about to dismiss, about to close. Pastor Kate, I don't know if you have anything you might want to say, or I don't know if you can be unmuted or whatever. Okay. I'm going to just speak a benediction over you. I pray you all have a blessed day today, nice spring day. You know, yeah, keep yourself safe. Father, I pray for all those on the line that have family members that have been afflicted with this virus. I know they're concerned. They love their families. I pray for strength. I come against the spirit of fear each and every day, because these things are created by the enemy to make us afraid. We're not supposed to live in fear, but to live in faith. But we're not supposed to be, Lord God, foolish. Then give us wisdom that goes beyond our years on this earth. Makes us wise as serpents. I bless you all. I pray that you all prosper. Being healthy is just so prosperous. And then remember, all things were together for our good, that no weapon formed against us, make it personal, no weapon formed against me will prosper. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a great day. You may depart to serve.